Fotografia europea 2022. Un'invincibile estate.
Usus fructus abusus. Raccontato dall'autrice Gloria Oyarzabal.
Hi, my name is Gloria Oyarzabal. I'm a Spanish artist photographer based in Madrid now, and I'm here to talk about my project Usus fructus abusus. So I think it all started in 2017 when I was in an artist residence for a couple of months at Art House Foundation in Lagos, Nigeria. And one of my research channels focused on finding archive material at the National Museum, which although it was neither my first time in Lagos nor in the museum, always surprised me because of the state of the decrepitude and decay I found in it. What I found was an almost non-existent collection of its own, with archives in a dangerous state of disappearing. I must point out that Nigeria is a very rich and very powerful country, of course, also with a great imbalance in the distribution of wealth, with a fascinating pre-colonization history, a very interesting art history, some of them tremendously key historical artifacts, as I'm thinking of as the Ifa heads, which date from centuries ago. Or, for example, the Benin bronze, which have been the center of attention lately, as hundreds of them are spread around Western museums and private collections. And they have been reclaimed by Nigeria since ages ago, since the years of independence. And just now, very few of them are starting to be in the center of returning conversations. So at that time, I was in the middle of my research for my previous project, Women Go No Gree, which in short focused on the effect of the colonization of the concept of women. And I discovered how in other societies, gender does not grant or remove privileges within the structure of the community. And that led me to conclude that hegemonic Western feminist discourses cannot and should not be universalized. Whereupon, I caught myself once again becoming angry and, well, not angry, but indignant at the state of affairs that did not fit my model. So once again, I had to stand in front of the mirror and review my gaze and my discourses and put more questions on the table, as, for example, could be if Western museum model can or should be universal. I've always think that the creation of imaginary is an innate responsibility of the homecomer. And if this information is established by an institution and shown as an exotic rarity, the effect is the opposite of the desired one. And instead of bringing us closer to the other, it becomes more and more strange and more distant and possibly more primitive. And as we know, by construction of knowledge since centuries, primitive is lower in the scale of theories of evolution. Theories which can dangerously be regressive, obsolete, and probably almost always racist and supremacist. So I thought, in a globalized world like the present one, how can we still show objects at anthropology museums, which are most of them consequence of the colonialist empires? Okay, so let's think that the concept of a museum was born more or less more than 300 years ago. Suddenly the collections of certain monarchs and kings and emperors were open to the public, and And they became, since then, institutions that give identity and define a nation. But what happens if the origin of these spaces is colonialist? Well, then history, collective memory, universal rights, and ethics come into conflict. So I started reviewing the relationship between anthropology and museum collections that come from a largely plundering colonial past. Many of these museums have appointed themselves as universal guardians of hundreds of thousands of objects, which overflow their basements, justifying their greed involved in this with a pathetic, paternalistic attitude. They pose all kind of excuses, nonsense of excuses. Museums are creators of imaginaries, and it should be clear that the museum as an institution is not and has never been a mere neutral or beneficial holder and exhibitor of objects. They are a powerful tool to inculcate respect, change preconceptions, and review history. But maybe, perhaps, the fact could harmfully be the exact opposite, reinforcing exotism and distinction, which is intrinsically related to supremacy discourses. And I'm not forgetting, of course, to mention something very important, the effect on the locals after the looting of these links of, in the chain of identity transmissions. It makes me think of the phantom limb syndrome, you know, like when after an amputation, the person continues to feel the limb without having it. It is obvious that the will to power and to dominate people considered inferior are still in force. And obviously, I'm still working around the idea of the colonization of the concept of woman, because I'm not only talking about all the looting and violations of collective memory done by colonialism, but also how our cultural institutions were also a cog in the machine of the supremacist spirit, which has been built since hundreds of years ago, and which makes me understand many of the situations I see in my everyday life. So all this led me to think about the responsibility of the risky representation of Black women in European art, which is another channel of backing, reinforcing all this. How has been the relationship and the position of the white woman and the Black woman, their bodies, their identity? It makes me remember or think about the Victorian era, when colonialism in Africa reinforced the most oppressive imaginary. The relationship of the body and the identity of the African woman with the settler perpetuated stereotypes as exotization or cultural appropriation, defining the difference, the hierarchies, it comes a problem of representation. So many key concepts come to light. Very important concepts as ownership and restitution and reparation and maybe even recontextualization. So my question is it an urgent, universal and feasible question for everyone to return what has been plundered and looted? I'm talking both in terms of objects and identity. And then who has agency to give and to return or to rename?